energy. I want energy today, boys. not with your knobs out or nothing, but you know what I mean.
Okay. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Jaw Dropping Podcast, a podcast all about peculiar stories, unbelievable facts and perplexing oddities. And I'm joined by John.
What's up, buddy?
And Will.
Hello.
Hey, I had Joyful and Wisdomous lined up for you two today.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think you used Joyful already for me, didn't you?
Oh, did I?
I'm Wisdomous. I'm not sure about that, but Will doesn't look like a wizard to me.
No.
That's not what it means, John.
Well, I was going to say, because you don't look like Gandalf. Although you are starting to get the beard.
A little bit. Do you know what I was looking at earlier today? I'm fascinated by it. I'd love to try it just out of interest. It's one of these beard Felching. Growth kits.
Oh, yeah.
I'd just be really interested with a little, like, rolly thing yeah. that pokes your face. I'd just be fascinated to see whether it actually works or not. It was fucking £69.
Oh, no, you can get them cheaper than that. My mate's got one. It fucking hurts, man.
Are they not... Yeah. Are they not supposed to be used for like that? It's because it like massage, like stimulates hair growth because it increases blood flow and stuff like that. Is that what it's meant to be for?
I don't know.
I didn't look into the science behind it.
I thought it was because it poked holes in your face and it made holes for where your hair could grow out.
I didn't look into the science of it, mate, but I'm fairly sure that is the case. I think it is supposed to stimulate the follicles that are currently not producing hair. And by massaging it and stimulating them, they then start to produce hair. I don't know. But anyway, I'm just interested to see whether it would work.
I feel like I'd play with it too much and I'd be like rubbing it on the back of my hands, my balls. And what happens if I just ended up like Bigfoot, just a hairy beast?
Yeah, okay. I'm not sure that's exactly how it works, but...
Right, so let's do our first news story, shall we? The first one, I'm going to have to rearrange the title, see if I can get you guys to work out what it is. Woman wakes up and is in, she's in a bit of shock. Why would she be in shock when she wakes up?
Well, it depends. It depends what sort of situation she's in.
I was going to say, that's quite an open question. Was her house on fire?
No.
Was Harvey Price stood over her?
Hello, you can.
Big up Harvey.
No, it wasn't.
Was there like a ghost that was having sex with her or something?
No, it wasn't one of those.
I was going to say, or was it, had someone moved a doll and put it next to her? Have you seen them videos where they put this doll head in the bed next to someone? Yes, and like the other person wakes them up and turns around and sees them, and they have like a heart attack.
Yeah. Go on, Alex. Tell us. Put us out on the
No, she woke up in a body bag at a funeral parlour
after being hell.
Mistakenly declared dead.
That would be my worst fear, mate. Oh, how do you mistakenly, like, how do you mistake someone for being dead?
Yeah, mistake. Well, the thing is, I think I will link you the story. So it's from the Metro, by the way, this one.
Fucking love the Metro.
Yeah, we love the Metro.
It's got all the bangers on it.
They have indeed. Right, so there's the link. Yeah, she got like high blood pressure or something and was declared dead by this doctor, who apparently didn't even try to revive her after he declared her dead.
Oh my god, well he needs his fucking license revoking, pal.
And I think it was in Paraguay.
Yeah,
I mean, that explains a lot, to be fair. The Paraguayans ain't got fuck all to do, have they? They ain't got a clue, have they? Is that the doctor stood behind her? Ta-da! And for my next trick...
I wonder, what did she do and how did she react? Like surely...
I imagine she freaked the fuck out.
Oh, yeah, you woke up in the morgue. Imagine working in the morgue.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, in the funeral parlour. Right, we just need to embalm this body. And it was moving... She was moving inside the body bag.
Mate... I don't know, maybe, I think this is, do you know what I reckon this is? I reckon this doctor is like a secret murderer, gave her some chloroform and was opening that.
It's not chloroform.
Well,
chloroform's a very, very different thing. I think you mean chloroform.
That's the one, chloroform, knocked around and thought, right, I need to get rid of the body, and was hoping that he could get the bitch burned before the funeral director, like, she woke up. Do you know what I mean?
I think all incinerators, though, that deal with... those have like an exit method as well.
What do you mean, an exit method, like a back door?
So, yeah, if you're accidentally put in there...
Still alive?
To bird still alive, yeah, you can get out.
No, imagine that. You press
honestly,
the button.
I really think we should be certain enough that someone has died.
Before you put them in a furnace.
In an incinerator.
Yes, so
we
of course.
Don't need to have a contingency plan.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
But, you know, what if you're in there, you know...
Just in case.
Cleaning it out or whatever, and the door shuts.
Oh, I suppose, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's for that reason, but not for the fact that you've put a body in there, and just in case it wants to fuck off, it can. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't believe there's a doctor out there. I'm sorry, but there's certain things you must have to go through to tell if a person's dead or not. Like, open its eyelids, stick your finger in its mouth, check if it's cold or hot.
Yeah, I mean, I could understand. Rub
its open tits. Its eyelids and stick your finger in its mouth are 100% not two things that doctors do to check if you're alive.
No.
Well, they should have done it, because if your mouth was still moist, then...
The eyes, they do, because they flash the torch in front of your pupils to see if they dilate or not. Because if they dilate, you're still alive. If it doesn't, then you're dead.
Even if you're completely unconscious, your eyes are dilating. Yeah, but it's got to be...
Yeah, that's something that they do to detect how responsive your brain is.
Yeah.
So they do that for, like, brain injuries as well. So you can technically still be alive and your eyes not dilate, or one dilate or the other one not.
Oh, okay.
But the, the things that they will do is they'll check pulse, they'll check breathing... You know, all that kind of shit. But in theory, your pulse can be so significantly low that you wouldn't be able to feel it through pure
is
touch.
It?
But yeah, she has high blood pressure.
Oh,
sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, so that would make your veins rock hard, isn't it? Because it's full of pressure. Do you know what I mean? Well, you'd be able to feel that.
Well, yes, but presuming that she was in such a comatose state that her heart basically wasn't beating, but was enough for her to survive. She may have even, I don't know whether this is possible, but she may have even died for a short period of time and then her body recovered. I don't know whether that's possible to do without having someone do CPR
maybe.
Or shock you.
Maybe.
But it could be.
And yeah, do you reckon you can just die?
I'm not suggesting it's an easy mistake to make, but no. Clearly it is a mistake that is makeable. Because someone
and has been made. I bet it's been done loads as well. I bet there's people that weren't even dead that have been buried and burnt.
Yeah,
I
have you heard of the term dead ringer?
Nope. Well, I have, but you're a dead ringer for this person. That's how I've heard
it. So a dead ringer was, if they weren't sure if people were dead or not, they used to attach a bit of string to their foot and that would then go to a bell on top of the grave. And they would leave it there.
Yeah.
So if the bell was ringing, they know that they need to dig someone up because they buried them by accident.
That is insane.
That's where dead ringer comes from. Yeah.
But again,
I just want to explain to the listeners the image that is on this on this picture, because basically there is a woman in a red top lying on a hospital bed, a woman taking a selfie who I presume is her daughter, and her husband is in the background doing the jazz hands. And the only way I can describe the emotion on the woman's face who's on the hospital bed is thoroughly pissed off.
Yeah.
Thoroughly
pissed
off.
She's not happy, is she?
She's not happy.
Well, I wouldn't be happy either, to be fair. I mean, I'd want some sort of compensation for that, like a beer or something. Do you know what I mean?
What, for nearly being buried alive?
Well, people make mistakes. You can't hold grudges, can you? You
win some, you lose some, don't you?
Hit and miss. All right, then. What's the next one?
That was the first news story. So this is our unbelievable fact, which was actually given to me by my grandma.
Oh, go on, then.
Who is an avid listener. No, she's not really. She
I was going to say, I say some questionable things on this podcast for your nan to be listening.
She did say, I'd like to have a listen to it. I said, it's got very blue speech in it, grandma, so I wouldn't advise it.
Blue speech? What the fuck is blue speech?
It's an old...
Well, exactly what you just said.
Is it
swear
language?
Words.
Yeah,
swear.
Yeah, and also,
fair enough.
Racy
it's
topics
colourful.
As well. Yeah.
So, but she gave me this one. So, what year did New Year's Day change to the 1st of January?
I thought New Year's Day would have been the start of the year. Although, saying that, Chinese have a new year in the middle of fucking summer or winter.
This is in England.
So, what, what was it before then? Was it the 31st of December?
It was the 25th of March.
What? Okay, so is this like a tax year thing?
Nope.
So why did it change? What? When was the first year? Well, it was in your grandma's lifetime.
No.
Oh.
She does a lot of work for the National Archives, so she's had to deal with...
I don't know, like 1815...
Oh yeah, because they used to think that like the a year was a week and shit, didn't they? They didn't know how many days were in a year, so they might have thought there was only 267 days in a year for the sun to go around the earth. Do you know what I mean?
I'm not sure that's the case, John.
No, it's not.
Considering we've been counting years for 2020 years, haven't we?
Oh yeah. So yeah, okay. So I'm going to say it changed 2021 years ago.
No. It was 1752.
1752. That's the same year that I can't remember. There was something. There was a fact that come to me then, and it just pissed right off. I can't remember what it was now.
1752. Okay. Well, yeah. Fine.
Can I ask why they changed it?
What's the reason?
It used to be based that they would gather. They would say that a year and time was based on the motion of the sun and the moon, rather than how we do it now with the motion of the earth in relation to the sun.
So I was kind of correct.
Kind of, yeah. So either way. The 25th of March, which is Annuication Day, which is like when Gabriel appeared to Mary.
Yeah, it's a religious holiday.
Yes, yeah. So that was the beginning of the new year. That was.
Is that the one who impregnated her with Jesus?
I'm not sure that's how it worked. He just said that
no,
she was
that
gonna
was
have
God,
a baby.
John.
Oh, yeah, Gabriel. Yeah, that's
the angel Gabriel is a different deity than God.
Yes,
but he's a bit of God, isn't he? That is God's semen swimming down to fertilize the egg. In retrobate terms, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, fine.
Oh, so yeah, so that's where. Because it used to start on the 25th of March, because if you look at the, I think it's the Latin translation of September, October, November, December, it's 7, 8, 9, 10. Because September would have been the 7th month, October would have been the 8th month, November would have been the 9th, and December would have been the 10th. And then
that's interesting.
The 11th.
Hang on. So what, they just made up 2 months?
No.
There was always 12 months. But right. Considering the cycle would start in March.
Yeah.
They would there be counting from March. They would then be the 8th, 9th, and 10th month. 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th month.
Ah, yeah. comps.
And then January and February would be the 11th and 12th, kind of.
Yes. And then March would be the first month. So we used to use the Julian calendar, which accounted for the leap year, and added one extra day every 128 years. However, However, there was no compensation for the extra day. So by the time it got to 1582, they were 10 days too early. Like, seasons were 10 days too early, so they were 10 days late doing things, as it were.
Yeah.
So 10 days were decided to be dropped from October. So it went from the 4th of October to the 14th of October, the following day of that year, to account for the 10 years. And they adopted the Gregorian calendar, which is what we use now. And that adds an extra day every 400 years.
You're blowing my mind here. Yeah. So no, what you're saying is time is fake, is what you're trying to tell me. So the people that were born then weren't actually 13, 14 at all. So they would have been like, I'm 26, and really they'd have only been 15.
No, it's only 10 days, John. It's not
It's not 10 years.
No, but you said what? They only had 200 and something days. Or did I say that?
They still had those days, but every 128 years, because of the extra time, you ended up
getting... but they were doing it around the moon and the sun, weren't they?
Yeah.
So that was only 10 days different to how we do it now?
No. It would be every 128 years, a new day would be added.
Oh, okay. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, whereas now we use the Gregorian calendar, which the formula adds an extra day every 400 years to account for whatever it is.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure how it all works, because I know that we have
I wish that happened.
We have
in
a leap year, don't we? So then we had a day every 4 years.
Yeah.
To maintain the same calendar over consistent periods of time.
Yeah.
So we might have already had one of these Gregorian days and not even noticed it. No.
I don't think that's how it works, but...
Okay.
But the thing was that England were like, nah, not having that. In 1582, they were like, no, don't want it. So they waited, they continued using the old calendar until 1752, which is why between 1582 and 1752, there is this thing called double dating. So if you see something which was like 1583/4, it means that it happened between December or January the 1st and the 25th of March. Because the way
that
the date...
must have been confusing as fuck.
Yeah, which is why when you get back to that time, people are very confused.
Could you imagine people trying to do like murders and that? Where were you between this whole month? Do you know what I mean?
Which
where
year?
Were you at? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Damn.
So when England adopted it and the colonies adopted it, they dropped 11 days because by that point an extra day had already been added because of the old calendar, and it was dropped in September. So it went from the 2nd of September to the 13th of September.
Man, they just dropped these days like flies, bruv.
Yeah.
Jesus. Is there no essence of time?
Yeah, so I thought that...
There is time, and that's the reason why they had to drop it.
Oh, yeah, true that. I hear you. I feel you.
Yeah, so imagine your September being, you know, 20 days rather than 30 days.
That's 10 days less of summer. That's 10 days less of summer, though. Mm. That's 10 days less sunshine. You can't do that.
No, but they were 10 days late anyway.
I know what you're saying.
Lose the sunshine.
Well, where did the
sun? The sun still rotates in exactly the same way. The only reason we're losing those days is because a year isn't exactly a certain number of days. It is days and a quarter. Therefore, you have to account for it. That's why we have a leap year every 4 years. Is because we sort of catch back up with the number of extra days that we've got because there's a quarter every year, effectively.
I feel you.
Okay.
I mean, I don't, but just for the listener's sanity, yeah. I'm going to suggest we move on.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay,
I feel like I may have confused quite a few people with that one, but it was extremely interesting. And thank you, Grandma, for giving me that little nugget of information to add to the podcast.
Big up, Grandma. Which one is it, Taylor or?
Yes, Grandma Taylor. Yeah.
Big up, Grandma Taylor. She's single.
No, she's with my granddad.
Oh, legend.
Oh, I hope she never listens to this. Right, let's go for news story number two. So, woman is making perfume that some people love the idea of, but others are really grossed out by it.
Here we go. I know what this is already. It is the smell of a fucking twat. Is it the smell of a vagina? She using vaginal yeast as perfume spray.
No.
Oh, I thought
I'd knew. Is it sweat? Is it her sweat?
No.
Pheromones.
You're kind of on the kind of right lines. I'm toying with the idea of making human perfume. So perfume that smells like, and I'll send you the link. I watched the little video and she just seems like a complete psycho. She's like, I missed my boyfriend, so I made a smell of him. And she's got like three smells. One that's like just after he's worked out. One is like just after
mate.
He's showered. And one's like just after they've had sex, and she like sniffs each one on the video. It's
that
so creepy.
Absolutely brutal.
But she's like an actual perfume artist. I think, are they an artist? Perfume artist? Is that what they're called?
I don't know, mate. Is that what you call them?
I think so. I'm not sure. But yeah, so she's been making perfume for... and I know that it was probably clickbait, because the clickbait was... A woman is making perfume for astronauts so that they can smell like Earth or something like that. Or forget about Earth and what it smells like.
I feel like this is just something that she should make for herself. Because not everybody around the world is going to want her boyfriend's sweaty ballsack.
No, that's not what she's saying. She's saying she could make like the perfume of Jodie, as it were, for your missus. Or
I can smell Jodie now. She's here.
Yeah, but for people who like live away,
who live apart, like you and Laura have been for the past 11 weeks, someone wants to bottle your sweat and send it to Laura. That's fucking
disgusting. Yeah, kind of. Yeah, that's kind of what it is. But you know, I don't actually think this is the most ridiculous thing in the world, because it is quite a big thing being able to smell your partner. You know, people have certain smells, don't they?
Yeah, everyone has their own scent. It's so weird. But you can't...
It does look a bit disgusting. But I don't think it's necessarily clickbait. I think it's quite a nice idea. Imagine sending up... You know, astronauts spend months and months and months away from home.
Yeah.
It'd probably be quite pleasant to be able to have a scent that smells like home.
Yeah.
Well, have people will start taking advantage and just start farting into glass jars, mate. Do you know what I mean? So he'll start prank wars. He'll be like, oh, I got you this lovely scent of your boyfriend. So when he's off in the army... And really, it's just someone's farted in a bottle. Yeah, it's Trump Wars.
I don't think that would be particularly pleasant.
No, it would not. Imagine that. Do you know, there was someone that was selling... Who was it? It claimed to be... I don't know if it was fart or if it was like air that Michael Jackson had breathed into this jar or something.
Well, the last breath of Thomas Edison, I think, is in a vial inside some museum somewhere.
How did they do that? They were like, oh, he's going to go, get the jar.
I don't think it was
Tom,
them.
Ready? Yeah, last it... one, blow. There we go.
Yeah, I don't think that would be like their, his actual last breath, but apparently his breath before he died is in that jar or vial.
There's madness.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it could just be a bottle with a label on it. Like,
no one could test it either, because as soon as you open it, that breath's gone. And I reckon back in Thomas and Edison days, they didn't even have a vacuum seal.
No, probably not.
Well, you have to put a cork in a vial, though, and it's fairly airtight.
Fairly, but how long has it been? 100 years? Some leakage.
Yeah,
the cork would have deteriorated, shrinkage. Probably, do you know what I mean? Contamination off the cork.
It's a fair point.
Yeah. But so, who would have thought, here's his last breath in this bottle. Here you go. Who buys that? Yeah, who decided to keep it?
Yes, it's...
Well, for historic purposes.
Just in case they can clone
it. Why his breath? Why not like a photograph or, you know...
His sperm, so then you can clone it.
Imagine being on your deathbed and someone being like, right, Tom, you know, I'm going to need to take a sample for historic purposes.
Yeah. We've got this lovely nurse coming in. And it's going
to
be...
You're just about to die and they want you to do that bloody asthma test where you blow into that tube.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be frozen, and then there's going to be a woman in the 21st century that's going to put it in her milkshakes or whatever it was last week.
Darty.
Right, are you ready for another unbelievable fact?
Go on then.
Okay. So another medieval fact, and oddly about time. This one was donated to us by someone who emailed in. How exciting.
Ooh. Was it someone we knew?
Yeah, it was Joe. Will's brother.
Yeah, well, there you go.
So the average household today has more clocks than an entire medieval nation.
Well, I've only got one.
Well, yeah, but I suppose that they wouldn't have used clocks, would they?
No, they were mainly in the centre of towns. There was only like one clock. Yeah. Whereas we have like your phone, your laptop... watches,
clocks
on
the walls.
Yeah,
your phone isn't really a clock, though, is it?
Yeah, but
it's got a clock on it. Yeah,
I know, but it hasn't got the craftsmanship of the mechanism like a clock would have. They had a lot of sundials though back in the day.
Yeah, but they were only good for about 8 hours.
Oh yeah, I suppose at night time they couldn't really tell you what time it was, could you? Bit hit and miss.
Yeah.
I never thought about that before.
Yeah,
they have a moon clock.
A lunar clock.
A moon clock.
I don't know. There's got to be a moon clock out there somewhere. I'm going to Google it. Is there a moon clock?
I suppose when the moon is shining as bright as it possibly can.
Yeah.
You might
yeah, full moon.
Get a shadow from it, possibly.
Yeah. But even then, that only happens once every, like, 28 days.
Well, yeah.
And even then, it's got to be not cloudy. So in England, yes, that weren't going to be likely, was it?
No.
There you go. There you
okay,
go.
Well, cheers, Joe. Thank you for that, mate.
Cheers, Joe.
Yeah, he gave us...
At least someone's partaking.
He gave us another one as well, which is, if you properly shuffle a deck of cards, right now, it is almost completely certain that no deck of cards has ever been shuffled in that order before in all of history.
Well, I'm not having that for shit. No chance.
Why not?
Well, because I suppose if you think of the...
The odds.
The mathematics behind it.
Yeah.
Then there is, it's probably a one in a billion or one in billions. I'm sure there is someone that works it out, but because how many cards are there? There's 52 cards. There you go.
So it's 1 times 2 times 3 times 4 times 5 times 6 times 7 times 8 times 9 all the way up to 52.
Really?
Yeah, and that's the probability.
I feel like I've played a drinking game where you put the cards down, higher or lower, da 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 da, and I've seen it come out exactly the same more than once. I'm sure of it.
Yeah, but that's not... It's the full deck of cards. If you'd continually...
It's the full deck. We went through the whole deck twice.
Yeah, but that doesn't...
Different times.
Yeah, but...
Well, they're saying that. I wasn't really taking much notice of where the cards were placed. I was just determined, to neck my fucking pint.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah. That is interesting, though. So I could literally shuffle a deck of cards now and do something no one else has ever done.
Yep.
Makes me feel like a fucking hero, that, I tell you.
Yeah. And if you think about all the casinos and everything else across, like, the globe that are constantly cards,
doing it.
Yeah.
Like, although saying that, they chuck the fucking cards out every couple of games.
Mm. I'm doing it vaguely on my phone now.
Yeah.
And apparently I did it up to 21 because that's as many functions my phone can accept.
Yeah.
And it's 5.109 to the power of 19.
What's that? Trillions?
Yeah, it'd be times 10 to the power of 19. So 10 times 19 and then add that bit on the front of it.
Yeah, so
basically a lot.
And that's only up to 20.
I can't work that out. You'll give me a fucking brain aneurysm, man.
Yeah, fucking hell. It's absolutely... astounding that you could shuffle a deck of cards and it wouldn't matter what you did with it, it would be different.
That's unwadzing, That is unwadzing. That is unwadzing. Oh, right. Cheers, Joe.
Cool. Well, I think it's now time for...
John's theory of everything. I got a couple of mind-blowing facts first before we get on. Well, they're not really mind-blowing, but something that I thought was... something that was pretty cool. So did you know that Pope Francis, yes, the head Catholic, the Donny Don Don.
Which one?
Was once Pope Francis. Ask me which version of him because I don't know if there's any... this Pope Francis. The Pope now, who's Pope Francis. Are they all Francis then? Are they all called fucking Francis or...
No, I think there may have been more than one Pope called...
No, I think he's the first.
Oh, is he the first Francis?
He's the first Pope Francis.
Okay, well, this Pope Francis was once a nightclub bouncer. Did you know that? There you go. Imagine that.
Is he a big
being
bike,
smited?
Then?
Being smited by the Pope.
Being smote.
Smote. Just because you wanted to fucking, get in there and have a couple more woo-woos and he wouldn't let you in. Imagine that. Imagine that. That's a story to tell you kids, isn't it?
The Pope... was a bouncer.
Yeah. He doesn't go into much detail about it, but yeah, he was once a bouncer.
Did he say that?
Yes, he's openly said that he was a bouncer, but he won't go into it.
Oh.
It's in The Independent. Yeah, that comes from The Independent, so there you go.
Wow.
And this
I think, was it Pope John Paul II, or I think he was the guy before Pope Francis, he used to play in goal for like a national football team or something. He used to be a good goalkeeper.
Did he?
Yeah.
What? I'm
interested because I assumed that like to become the Pope, you had to be like a cardinal, and to become a cardinal, you had to be like raised from birth, like in a church.
Celibate.
Yeah. Like for the whole of your entire life, you were just devoted to the Catholic Church, and then you were then elected.
Yeah.
by...
I'm not sure how true that is necessarily, but I suppose they've got to have other lives. They've got to, you know...
Yeah, because you don't know it, like, now, like 16. That didn't make sense, now, at 16. Well, saying that, that's... Let me start that again, because I'm getting all confuddled. When he was 16, he didn't know he wanted to be the Pope, did he? Do you know what I mean? So I'm sure there's some sort of leeway where, you know, if you had sex with a woman or not. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know how it all works. But
yeah, well, there's a fun
I
fact.
I don't know whether you have to be that religious from a young age or whether at a certain point, if you decide to be religious at that point, if you decide that that's what you want to pursue as a career, I suppose it classes as a career.
Yeah.
Then you can go, right, well, you know, like you draw a white line under everything you've done before and start from that point.
Yeah, I thought it was like a progressive thing, you know, you were born into the church and then you became like a little priest and you had your own church for a bit and then you kind of went to the next stage and you were like the Archbishop of Banterbury and then you just kind of worked your way up from there kind of thing. But
certainly massively hierarchical, but whether it's... Yes.
You get voted in, don't you, for Shell?
Oh, well, yeah, Pope, yeah, you do.
The Pope does, yeah. But they're supposed to be... I find it quite funny. It's a really fascinating process of how a Pope is voted in. Because
they all get locked in a room, don't they?
Then vote for whoever... It's not whoever they think is the best. It's when they pray, and it's whoever God tells them is the person to become the Pope. However, I would have thought it's massively, massively political.
Massively political. Yeah. Someone's getting paid off here and there as well.
It's white smoke out the chimney, and that's when you know.
Well, there you go. That's your Pope infill for the day. Right, next one. Did you know that chainsaws were originally created to help deliver babies?
No. I mean, I'm assuming that not the chainsaw that we have today.
Not the motorised chainsaw, but I'll give you a little insight. So before caesarean C-sections, if a baby was too large to pass through the birth canal, which is the womb / vaginal entrance to the port of hell or heaven, whichever, parts of the pelvis would be removed. At first, the procedure was performed with a small knife, which was very messy and painful.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in 1780, two doctors invented the chainsaw to make the removal both easier and less time-consuming. The original chainsaws were powered by a hand crank. Now, yes, it would have been quicker, but I bet it was still messy and painful.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that was a particularly pleasant
imagine
thing
that.
To go through. No. I mean, you can't imagine that very many women survived that.
Oh, I wouldn't have thought so, because what do you do? You can't put... a bit of pelvis back in, can you?
But that was the reason why the mortality rate was so high. And also, they didn't know about bacteria and stuff in those days, I don't think. So they never used to clean the equipment properly, like, you know...
Oh, my God.
Cauterising the equipment and cleaning it with alcohol and stuff to make sure there was no bacteria on it. So they'd just wipe it down, and if it looked clean, therefore it must be clean. But that they were...
And I bet it would have gone rusty, because they didn't have none of this galvanised shit back then, mate.
Yeah, it would have been.
Imagine like the bits of fleck of rust on off the chain, just going into you,
not for me, bits of
dried blood.
Not for me.
And you're trying to have the best moment of your life, thinking I'm going to bring life into this world. Meanwhile,
it wasn't.
There's
like
literally
that back
a jigsaw
then.
Being cut out of you, and you're going shit. I should have wore a condom. You know what I mean?
But you know, back in those sort of days when you were going into labour, you'd have been properly scared because people died very often in labour, really often in labour.
Yeah, it would almost. You'd have to sit there and think, like, how good is this dick going to be? Is this going to be like? Do you know what I mean? Like, am I going to? You have to think like every time you have sex.
Yeah, but they'd
this, want... I might die later from this, literally.
Yeah, but you'd want, like, a child, so you wouldn't really be thinking in that kind of sense, would you? You wouldn't be...
I don't know. If I saw Anne from down the road fucking get a bit cut out of her and I was pregnant, I'd be thinking, shit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Get the vodka, bite down on this rag. I'm just going to take a bit of your skeletal bone out.
Yeah, I can't imagine it being particularly... I wouldn't have been massively tempted, but I suppose back in the day, because people died so young, you needed kids to look after you.
Yeah, I suppose.
Because I think the average age wasn't even much past 40.
Yeah, I think it was like 35. Right.
And also, a lot of kids died in childbirth and a lot of kids died young. So you know, mothers were having, you know, five, six, seven babies on a relatively regular occurrence. You wouldn't just have the one or the two.
Just to try and repopulate the earth.
Yeah, because only one or two of those would make it to...
Could perhaps survive, yeah.
That's fucking insane, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, mate.
All right, so I'm going to go off on a little... This is a conspiracy theory I found this week. I have seen it before and I've sort of read into it and I want to get your guys' take on it.
Okay.
So we all know that Hitler committed suicide in 1945 in a bunker in Berlin.
Yeah.
However, there is a rumor online, or should I say a conspiracy, that he miraculously escaped and eluded Allied nations. And these are all like...
Yeah, he went to Argentina, apparently.
Yeah. There are numerous declassified FBI sightings. So theories suggest Hitler is in South America, Spain, where dictator General Franco was, Francisco Franco was sheltering him, or rummaging around with bandits in the mountains of Albania, like a pig, like a feral pig in shit. There was also a spot of him in Ireland dressed as a woman. But the strongest of the rumours are he escaped to Argentina, yeah. By first flying to Denmark and then getting on a U-boat, just not a normal U-boat, a special U-boat that ran more silently and could be submerged for longer. It was a U-3523, so he was stealth like a fucking ninja. Mm-hmm. And then once he arrived in Argentina, one declassified FBI file says that he travelled Brokeback Mountain style to his ranch. So
yeah, it was like
he
a
got
mansion.
Off a U-boat and then, yeah,
Isn't there like a village in Argentina or like a town in Argentina that basically looks like it's a Bavarian
village? It's a colony. It's a colony that the Germans have there.
That's where they escaped to, apparently, mate. Nazis.
That's the rumours. Because they found stuff in the jungle and the woods and the forest and stuff around there that was definitely
Nazi memorabilia from the wartime and shit.
Yeah. But then if it was a colony, then that was probably to be expected. But whether Hitler actually went there or not, I don't know.
Well, there's another theory that he shaved off his Charlie Chaplin and lived as a monk. I'm on about his tash, not his knob. his tash, not his knob. But yeah, I just want to see what you guys think. What do you think happened?
Well, I think he shot himself in a bunker in Berlin, but...
yeah.
So do I, but I've got a theory. I've had to be played devil's advocate, and I've wrote down my theory, and I'll read it to you in a minute.
Okay.
Well, out of all of those... I suppose that the most logical place that he would go would be a place where he wouldn't be recognised, and that people wouldn't be able to detect that was him. And so going to South America is perhaps one of the better options. However, from him to get to Berlin to South America, I mean, it's so long, it's so contrived.
All while dodging incoming Allied forces that are there to fuck him up. Because didn't the Russians find him? The Russians found him, right? They got there first.
Well, everybody was piling into Berlin at the time, and so there was a lot of Allied forces, a lot of Russian forces. So,
was the bad thing that. He was like, oh, we'll just take on Russia. And rather than equip his forces with the correct gear to deal with the cold, because it's freezing cold in Russia, he said, no, we won't equip them with the correct gear because it will make them fight harder.
Oh, my God.
And obviously a lot of Germans died. Because the Russians had these huge... I don't know if you've seen, old Russian, coats and stuff, but they're, fur-lined coats. Huge things.
But they were massively under-equipped as well, the Russians, right? I think they had, one rifle for every five people or something stupid.
There's that famous battle where they put them in pairs and they said, right, the guy in front of you has the gun with a clip in it, you've got the ammo... If he dies, pick up his gun. If he needs ammo, you give him ammo. And that's how they sent him in pairs.
That's so mad, mate. Imagine that. Imagine that at the age of fucking 16, 17, 18. You have to be 18 to go in the army, right?
It was younger, right? For Russians. Russians was 16, I think.
They just sent them out there. It's fucking... Honestly, it's amazing. Not... It's tragic, but it's fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really, what they did. But, so here's my theory on what happened. So, I'm going to play devil's advocate and just say he did. Let's say if he did get out alive, this is what happened. So basically, my theory is that Hitler was losing the war and thought, bollocks this. I'll go around the world in 80 days. He travelled all over the globe in a hot air balloon, a bit like Jackie Chan did in that film. He flotationed over to Ireland, thought he'd try, you know, give transgender a try. Soon realised that wasn't for him. Hopped back into his hot air balloon. Landed in China, shaved his chaplain off, lived in the hills as a monk. Got a bit nippy up there, but liked the views. Thought he'd better go to some Otter mountains. Ended up in Albania, loved it there. Was happier than a midget at a short skirt convention. After this, he fancied life on the Costa del Sol with a couple of porn star martinis, or even fancied giving the big un in Benidorm. However, he grew tired and old of partying with his liver giving out. So he hopped onto one of his U-boats, sailed over to Argentina, grabbed two horses, rode them bareback style to his ranch, where he was then set upon by a business of pudu, the world's smallest deer. And that's how he died. There you go.
Have you just amalgamated all of the theories?
Yeah. Put them all together, because there's always truth in some stories, isn't there?
Yeah. And
no. No, yes. They're not. It's you've always read little that off truth. A fucking Reddit page.
No, I haven't. I fucking made that up. That is me. That is my theory on what happened. I even had to Google what a pudu was.
Okay.
Is an Argentina native animal. Thank you very much.
Okay, fine. Well, yeah, fuck it. Go on, and I'll agree with you. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
That's the new theory. Yeah,
that's,
I like
that's my theory on that. And I'll be doing them every week, yeah? So I'll have a new theory for every story I find. I'll just go on a little ramble. Just compile all the best bits of information. Pile all the stories at all the locations, and that's exactly how it went down.
He's a well-travelled man, is Hitler, then, isn't he?
Yeah, he's very well-travelled.
And he went from Ireland to China in a hot air balloon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which way did he go, John? Did he go across Europe or did he go across the sea?
He went over. He had to go across. He had to go across the sea because Europe's were looking for him.
And so were the Americans, which he would have had to cross as well.
You know, he just extra pulled down on his cord to make it go a bit higher over America. They didn't have radar back then, you see. They just had binoculars and horses.
Did they not have radar during the Second
No, because
War
the Americans in. Oh yeah, no. I was going to say. No, the Second World War, no, I don't think they did in America.
Okay.
They had horses.
And they did have horses. Tanks.
And Roosevelt.
And battleships. And planes.
And radar.
Yeah.
No, well, look, it's my theory. That's just, I'm telling you what happened. Okay, well, he went the other way then. He went across Europe.
Okay.
He went across Europe as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
Right, well. What I reckon happened is that he was he went to a film premiere in Paris, and while he was there, the person that owned the cinema decided to burn the whole of the cinema down. And at the same time, a bunch of American Jewish soldiers managed to get into the cinema and shoot him in the face so much that his face began to sort of ripple away.
Is that not Inglourious Bastards?
It is exactly Inglourious Bastards. Right. It holds as much weight as your theory.
No, because mine's true.
I love it. Right, have you got anything else for us, John?
No, not really. I mean, I can pull up another fact for you. I've got one. I have got one lined up for every occasion of the week. Shakespeare invented the word swagger. So. Yeah. The rappers. Yeah, cool.
He also.
There you go.
It's also where the word drag comes from as well.
What, drag? What? As in?
Yeah, as in you
drag
know,
someone behind you,
no,
or
drag artist.
Dress as a man, or dress as a woman.
Yeah. So in the side notes of Shakespearean scripts, because women were not allowed to be actors, so the men used to have to play the women, and it would say enters so and so, drag, which meant dressed as girl.
As
drag, that's where it came from.
Did not know that. And I used to do theatre. Should have known that.
Yeah.
And then I'll end with this, boys, because I feel like this is just sad and needs to be voiced. Male ladybugs can spend up to 4 hours mating with a dead female before they realise something is off. There you go. So, I mean,
poor people.
If the smell and the smell don't,
that is some stamina. 4 hours.
4 hours, mate. Imagine that. What? Why is she? Is she not enjoying this, or what's going on right now? I'm giving the. Oh, right. She's dead. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, cool. Thank you very much for listening, everyone, for another episode of the Jaw Dropping Podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe to our channel and give us a comment as well. And also, you can email us at thejawdroppingpodcast@gmail.com. And John, do you want to give us another outro? I can't remember what you did last week. Oh, no,
I can't remember.
Oh, you did.
I'm
Devo.
Running out
did,
of them. To be
did
fair.
DJ Devo, mate, didn't you?
Wagwan, me people, this has been John, Will, and Alex. We see you next week, guys.
Why did that go Welsh?
I don't know, he started going Rats to them Welsh. I mean, who knows? I can't do Rats to them Welsh.